Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Here we are on the doorstep of the NCAA tournament, and the most famous college basketball player that we have right now just went down in a heap yesterday. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It's Cooper Flagg of Duke, obviously. He's the one guy you're thinking of. And he rolled his ankle yesterday. Duke still won, so they are advancing to play North Carolina today, Pearl, but... you know, we don't think it's that bad. The x-rays were negative, but it certainly put a little bit of a shadow over all the action.
Still won. Georgia Tech is awful, by the way. I don't know what happened there. They're very vulnerable without Flagg. I was surprised. When you think of Cooper Flagg, you think offense, and I guess he's the key linchpin to their defense.
Yeah.
And it's not, he's not that great a defense either. The other guy they lost.
Malik Brown.
Malik Brown, also their best defender. So they looked vulnerable. Yeah, I'm very disappointed at all of this because, as I said earlier in the show, I couldn't wait to root against Duke and predict them to go down in the Final Four semifinal. That's how I have them losing because they are so young. John Shire, who I like, is basically like, hey, rest of college basketball, you guys go get these 22-year-old transfer portal guys. I'm going to recruit the heck out of high schools, and I'm going to win that way. It doesn't work. He's like the new Calipari. He's... best two players by far are freshmen. So I generally didn't think Duke had a great chance. Now I think everybody's going to be down on them because if he's Cooper Flagg's 80%, that's not enough.
No, but here's the thing about Flagg specifically. You're saying, you know, that John Shire is trying to pull a Calipari. Every program in America would have taken Cooper Flagg. He is so unique. I know.
Well, what's the difference between every player Calipari had? You're telling me not everybody on earth would have taken all those number one picks?
No, but I think what we've discovered in the NIL and transfer era, when you can do this also freely, that having the older players is an advantage, right? Because you could put together a roster of veterans.
Right.
Back then, when Calipari was really, you know, executing this at a high level, couldn't transfer as easily. Guys, air quotes, weren't getting paid. And it felt more like the strategy. It's not the strategy now. Right. But Cooper Flagg, Auburn would have taken him.
Yeah,
St. John's would have taken him. Like they all these like really veteran laden teams would have pushed aside everything for Cooper Flagg. So I'm not going to knock John Shire for thinking he can win with a young team when he is the big winner here who got Flagg.
Well, that's okay. That's true, but that doesn't mean it's going to work to have Flagg and Con Knipple being your one and two player. Flagg is 18. I think Knipple is 18 as well. They're going against grown men. They're going against these, you know, Bruce Pearl. What did he tell us, Maggie? We were sitting there at the Final Four, and he said, we can't say it on air.
Hair on their butt. He wants guys with hair on their butt.
Yeah, and...
which is an amazing visual. Thank you, Coach.
So, and we'll see. The problem is there's a lot of guys in the SEC of hair on their butt. But I think old teams win. I think that's why UConn is the signature team of this generation, because you could have a Cooper Flag, but you got to have a bunch of old guys around them. And I just don't think there's enough at Duke. I could be wrong. Listen, they're number one seed overall.
Yeah.
So they're number one team in the country.
But they might be the number one seed.
But now that Cooper is a little bit hurt, can't you see everyone downgrading them?
Yeah, I can. And he shouldn't play the rest of the ACC tournament. I think that's a given. And then we'll see what happens. He's also got this future NBA career that's out there, you know, and you have to wonder, like, what is a championship at Duke versus whatever is going to wait for you in the pros? You know, guys getting paid with NIL now maybe makes that a little bit different calculus, but, like, he'll make way more in the NBA. Here's the other part. Seth Davis once said this to me, and he's absolutely right, which is the NCAA tournament doesn't need stars. It makes stars. And I agree with him. However, a little bit of a different era now where, you know, there are not as many household names with college basketball. Like, yes, if you're watching the sport closely, then you know about the LJ Criers and you know about these other guys, the Mark Sears. But here's the thing. Cooper Flagg's like the guy. Do you think that if he's limited for the NCAA tournament, or if Duke goes out in the first round or something like that, do you think that the tournament itself takes a hit?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, I also think Duke is a team. Like, Duke losing last year was a huge bummer for CBS.
Well, they didn't lose until the Sweet 16, though.
Eight, actually.
Oh, Elite Eight, excuse me.
Yeah, but still, you always want Duke in the Final Four,
yeah.
Right?
You got two weekends out of it, though. Not bad.
Not bad, but it would have been much better. At least you had UConn in there, but... Yeah, I do think it is a blow to the tournament. Remember 2 years ago, it was UConn, San Diego, Miami of Florida, and Florida Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how those ratings did, but listen, the casual fans don't know those teams. I think most casual fans, the only team they've watched this year is Cooper Flag and Duke. I mean, do you think that people who are not necessarily college basketball fans watch a lot of these SEC teams? I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Alabama-Auburn game probably did pretty well. But yeah, again, like, you're competing with a lot. And
yes.
The NCAA tournament, you finally have the stage all to yourself. And Flag, like, this was going to be his launch pad. And it still might be if the ankle's not that bad. But it certainly changes things.
Right. I mean, again, I think the analogy is Zion Williamson, superstar freshman.
Yep.
And then he flamed out in the tournament, too. So, yeah, you're right. I don't think it's a devastating blow to the tournament, but I do think it's definitely 10% down if Cooper Flagg is not 100%. I mean, he probably will play. I think that the odds are he's going to be in a week to treat an ankle. They have the best trainers in the world, presumably. Shoot him up. I think he's out there. But again, I just don't think people are going to pencil Duke into their final line anymore because of this, which is a shame.
The image of him in a wheelchair being pushed to the... to the locker room is not awesome. Now, he didn't come back out, so he sat on the bench. I thought you'd want it elevated, ice. What is it? Compression, whatever.
I'd like to know what's going on. And also, too, when he walked out of the locker room, I don't know if you saw it, there was no limp.
Well, that's probably bodes well.
I'm a little worried that today is the day.
Yeah, I mean, it'll swell up.
Yeah, we know the swelling, and that becomes... Because ankle injuries can go from, okay, you're off for a couple of days. I mean, Julius Randle sprained his ankle and needs surgery. Like, it can go... all different ways, so I think it's going to be kind of a wait and see thing.
But if he had torn a tendon, for example, there's no way he's out on the bench in the second half and just walking around.
Agree, he'd be in a boot.
Probably
I'm optimistic. Shire after the game said, "I don't care whatever happens, I'm not putting this dude back in there."
Yeah,
he's like, "I'd have to be really convinced." I'm like, the James Naismith could come back from the dead. There's no way he's being convinced of a Cooper Flag. Back in this game. Meanwhile, you're welcome to weigh in on that, 855-212-4227. And then also this question from college basketball. So want to play you a clip, and it's very candid, of Omar Ballo, who plays for the University of Indiana. And Indiana has been kind of a mess this year. We know that Mike Woodson is going to be gone. They're going to be looking to restart yet again, Pearl. And, you know, Indiana's got such a proud tradition basketball, yet they've had some down years since Tom Crean left. So here's Ballo talking about letting down the Indiana fans, but more the reaction of those Indiana faithful to the team.
Our fans, in fact, let us down as a whole unit, because we come here every single day. All we're trying to do is win for these people. But we lose one game, two games, the next thing you know, your DM is crazy. You don't like death wishes, like death threats and stuff like that. Like nobody wanna live like that, you know? And I hope people like they change stuff like that, because this is not helping anybody.
Yeah, he's saying death threats in their DMs. Here's more from Ballo saying that the Indiana fans need to change.
At the end of the day, we are human beings. We have feelings, you know? Just like you, you wake up, go to work, and someone is wishing nothing but the worst to you and your work. You know, it's mental draining, and nobody want to deal with that for a whole five-month season. It's too much to take in for players and for coaches. And I hope, man, they change, man, because it's time. Like, they're not helping us. They're not helping anybody.
Okay. So I think this boils down to, how do you see this issue of fans having death threats and things on social media to players? Is it the fans' responsibility to cut out that immature behavior, or is it the athlete's responsibility to block that out and not pay it any mind?
I think there are two issues here. One, actual death threats. That's impermissible, and you should get the law involved. But I do think fans have the right to be heavily critical, which he also said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course fans can say, we expect more. And what's the deal with you guys? You stink. I think it's death threats. Don't you agree that death threats is way too far? Call the police.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, that happens in our industry a lot. A lot more than you might know.
Yeah.
I think that that's ridiculous, obviously. And that is never, never, ever permissible. But to heavily criticize a team, I don't know if I want to hear a player. Did we do this topic recently with Kevin Durant, too, not understanding why people boo?
Right.
It's part of the experience. I'm not sure. And so, again, once you say death threats, it's a different conversation. But you're allowed to really criticize the team heavily,
yeah,
especially on social media.
I guess the thing is like booing in the arena is a little more say it to my face. Like, here I am, I'm a fan, I paid a ticket, money for a ticket, I'm going to boo you. The social media stuff, it does feel invasive, you know? To DM somebody, it's extremely personal.
Yeah, the DM is, why not just tweet it or
tweet it,
Instagram
yeah,
it or whatever?
Because I think you would be the reason why I think people DM direct message this stuff as opposed to just tweet it is because this is not something you would say publicly, you know? Unless it's like you're some troll with some burner account, and then now we're getting to the deep, dark corners of the internet here. But it's always funny to me when it's when athletes or whatever post the DMs, and then you go look at that person's profile, and it's like father of five, you know, father of three, follower of Jesus, you know, all these things where you think this is not, you're not living up to your own standard here. I think that the personal part of the DMing, I think he totally has a right to criticize.
If you want to boo,
you can boo all you want. I'm totally in favor of that.
But why does he have his DMs open then?
See, well, that's the thing. Is it on the athlete or is it on the fans? Like, you could say, well, listen, Omar, you don't have to have a Twitter account. You don't have to do that. Now,
no, you can have it, but close your DMs.
Well, his DMs may be closed, but you can always go and see who's DM'd you, because maybe there's someone who you want to reach out to. Like, that happens all the time.
You can if you have a closed DMs, then you
on Instagram.
I close on Twitter. I close forever. I never saw my DMs.
So Instagram, he could be talking about Instagram. Instagram, you can get DMs, and they might not in your inbox, but there's always requests.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
You can get a request, because I've had requests from listeners of the show who want to say, "Hey, EJ, you're doing a great job," and I say, "Okay, thank you," but like it's not in your actual inbox.
Oh, okay.
So most of people say I'm an idiot. So just to be clear.
Feel a mixed bag.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, that was a kind DM on X Twitter. You can't DM somebody who
has it blocked. Yeah.
Who doesn't follow you?
But
no. Not just if they don't follow you cannot DM them.
But here's the thing: in the world of NIL, you may need to have Instagram to fulfill some of these contracts.
Yeah.
Like if you're gonna be doing something for Kia's car dealership or what have you, you might have to do some Instagram.
Oh, you can have Instagram, but just ignore your DMs. Trust me, my DMs are disgusting, and I've never even given a second thought. These are crazy people hiding behind a computer screen. And this was not a popular take, but I thought Angel Reese was oversensitive to it, too. I mean, you don't have to go and read all your DMs.
Yeah, but the only thing with Angel, remember, she said people were coming up to her on the street.
Yeah.
That's the Caitlin Hive who went way over the top.
Oh, I thought she was also complaining about the DMs.
She did, but then she did get confronted, like, face-to-face. And then let's not forget Caitlin. Caitlin had a stalker. You guys remember that story from the summertime? That was super scary. He's, like, circling her house.
But obviously, that's a very different discussion.
Sure.
And Angel was threatened in the serious ways, too. Very different discussion.
Yeah.
That's where you call the police.
Sure.
Just to, a totally different topic. Can you in Indiana, if you're dissatisfied with where the Hoosiers are, can you complain loudly in the stadium, on social media? Yeah, I think that fans have a right to be upset when your team stinks.
So there's two other things about this.
Yeah.
One is, you know, I think sometimes for us, we've lived with social media only as adults, you and I. Like, so Facebook got started when I was in college. So I was a freshman in college, so I wasn't an adult, but I was, you know, I looked like this. Anyway, we didn't grow up with it like your daughters are.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you're starting at 8 years old, 9 years old. Manny was born like in EJ, and like Facebook existed.
And even early Facebook has nothing to do with what's going on now.
Fair. I mean, you can't even recognize it.
MySpace.
Yeah, basically, there was a certain point in the late 2010s where social media became the main way of communicating.
Right. So I think that for college players and people in their 20s now, maybe it's a little easier for you and I to turn it off or to just say this is not worth it, as opposed to a younger person who this has been a significant part of their life, you know, and how they communicate. I remember still calling people on the phone, the landline, you know, stuff like that.
What?
Yeah, Manny would never have done something, and neither did Omar Ballo, who's complaining about the Indiana fans who are leaving death threats in his DMs. And that's what we're talking about right now. So I think you have to... I think it's a little more sense if you could say, oh, just don't look at it. Well, this is what these guys know and girls, you know? This is more of their life than it was for you and I in our formative years.
There's a difference between Indiana sucks and death threats.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's
what Perloff said. Yeah. You got to get the cops involved.
Well, but
just real quickly, I do think that sometimes we're not just going from 0 to 100, right? Like, there's an environment of harassment that gets fostered that begins online. I think it's unfair to say, well, people should be able to criticize loudly and that's okay, but death threats are bad. It's like, okay, yes, we agree with that, but there's a ramp to get to that point, right? Mm. So to say, well, we just ignore it, it'll be fine. People have been ignoring it. Like, you think Omar Ballo, every press conference is coming out being like, man, these fans are still on us. No, this is the first time he's ever said anything about it. Like, they've tried to ignore it. It hasn't worked. So what are you supposed to do?
But he also said, you're not helping us by being negative and all that.
Yeah, by death threats.
Yeah.
He's being clear. Like, that's why I'm trying to be clear, though.
But he was also saying the general booing. I think he was also hinting that the general lack of support and disappointment in the team isn't helping us at all. I also heard that in there. It wasn't just the death threats.
Right.
It was just general. Did you guys hear like a negative atmosphere?
Yeah, just like that's not helping us. But is that the fans' responsibility too? And we talked about this again with Durant last week. You know, he's saying when we're down 20, that's when we need the fans the most. It's like, well, is it our job to kickstart your comeback? Like, you're the ones who are out there. You're the ones getting paid.
The quote was like, you know, I just listened to it again. The quote was, you wake up every morning and someone is wishing the worst of you. I think that's a little word. That's different than you guys aren't playing well.
Right.
I know, like, I really do think that there's a difference. And I think these players, they can take booing. They can take people, whatever. I just think there's a ramp. I don't think it goes from zero to like, oh, you're just bad, and then to, you know, death threats.
One other thing I want to bring up about this, and we're talking about, you know, fans leaving, you know, critical DMs, direct messages and stuff on social media. The gambling aspect of this, which I think is definitely playing into it, which is also something that wasn't around 10 years ago as much as it is now, which is people in the stands can be literally placing bets while the game's going on.
Oof.
And then, you know, they start saying stuff about it. And actually, his Woj, Adrian Wojnarowski, mentioned this a couple years ago, and I think people universally clowned him, said guys are feeling uncomfortable because the type of heckling they're hearing from the stands is, I need two more rebounds, I need two more points. And then when it doesn't happen, getting on people, and when there's any kind of significant money at stake, well, now you've really changed things.
Well, totally. But isn't this a function of Indiana basketball can't get back to being Indiana basketball anymore, right? I heard something about this is a tough fan base. EJ, you were saying that Indiana fans are
that's what I find fascinating
upset.
About this. Yeah, well, Matt Painter from Purdue talked about a couple weeks ago, Mike Woodson on his way out, being like, you guys have to change your expectations of what Indiana basketball is, and your negativity is creating an environment here that's not helpful to winning. And then Omar Ballo, you know, he was a Gonzaga player. He wasn't a star, but he was a role player. He was a star at Arizona. He has played at big programs. This is not a guy who, you know, is not used to the bright lights and is all of a sudden, like, not be able to take heat. Like, he's played for fan bases that are rabid. And this is when he says Indiana fans, they've gone too far.
Right.
Like, but so it makes me wonder if this is also a Indiana University fan problem as opposed to maybe a college basketball problem.
855-212-4227. So a lot there to chew on if you want to get involved in this conversation about whose responsibility is it? Is it the fans to tone down the rhetoric, or is it the athletes to just ignore it? Again, 855-212-4227. Say good morning to our Infinity Sports Network affiliates, who we absolutely love and adore and appreciate. You can listen to us on SiriusXM channel 375, and you can always watch the show, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Coming up next, we have some really damning description of one of the biggest stars in the NFL. So what's going on behind the scenes? We'll tell you next. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
All right, this NASCAR race preview is sponsored by WeatherGuard Truck and Van Equipment. They're just as driven as the hardworking pros they serve. What do we got, Manny?
Boogity, boogity, boogity. The Cup Series heads to Las Vegas for the Pennzoil 400. Christopher Bell in the number 20 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota. He looks to become the ninth man in NASCAR's modern era to win four straight races, joining a list that includes seven Hall of Famers like Dale Earnhardt, Jeff Gordon, and Jimmy Johnson. Can Bell join the fraternity? The Pennzoil 400 from Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Green flag wave Sunday, 3:30 Eastern.
Can't wait.
Fantastic job, Manny. Well done.
Very well done.
We've got some Manny tires. We've got some news for you,
Manny,
from
RPM.
From Diana Rossini. We want to get to you right away. So here's a couple things. First and foremost, about the Aaron Rodgers situation. This is what's up to the minute. We know the Raiders were crushed. They didn't get Matthew Stafford. But how about Pittsburgh and the New York Giants? According to Diana, they have discussed contract parameters with Rodgers, both teams. So it's out there, what they're offering, what it would look like. And they expect a decision soon, with some people even saying that they think it's the Steelers, but she couldn't confirm that all the way.
As you also said, the Giants offered more money than the Steelers.
The Vikings, however, are intriguing to Rodgers, but what Diana is saying is that they've had these conversations, the Vikings, about what this would actually look like, and what it comes down to is that they realize they need, and this is her quote, a bad cop in the building, someone who's going to hold Rodgers accountable if he says things on McAfee that become distractions, or to say, you know, to try to put some guardrails up on all the extra Aaron Rodgers stuff. So
yeah, love it.
That's where you stand with Rodgers.
We got to get Rodgers to Minnesota. Get him indoors, Justin Jefferson, just for the NFL. That'd be the best solution. Right?
First trip back to Lambeau, do you think the Packer fans boo?
I don't think they booed Favre, did they?
I don't think so. I have to go back. I don't remember.
Yeah.
One more. Yeah.
The Packers have their own quarterback again. Just like they didn't boo Favre because they had Rodgers. So I assume if Love plays well, they'll be okay.
Here's more from Diana. Two teams interested in signing free agent wide receiver Cooper Kupp, who was released earlier this week. Seahawks and Cowboys. Makes a ton of sense.
Schefter,
both of them.
Schefter said that the Cowboys are working on a deal with Kupp.
Okay, and he's expected to make his decision today. Good. I think both could use him. Now, is he capable of playing a full season at this point? I don't know.
Can he get open? Is the other point. I saw our friend Warren Sharp tweeted that his getting open percentage is bottom 10 in the entire league of 151 receivers. Cooper Kupp makes a lot of amazing contested catches, which is always a nerve-wracking thing. That means he's not getting open for any balls. He's 32. That's when wide receivers go to die. Dallas needs a number two receiver so badly, but I just wonder if he has enough left in the tank.
855-212-4227. Okay, let's go to Daniel, who's in Pennsylvania, wanted to weigh in on some sad news yesterday, and that is the passing of John Feinstein, the legendary sports writer and broadcaster and columnist who had a show on this very network for many years. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to give my condolences to Bogus especially. I saw his tweet yesterday, and he was actually the first person I thought of when I heard about the news yesterday. And I wanted to ask, do you guys have any stories about John?
Well, Daniel, thank you. And Bogus is here now.
Yeah, Dan, thanks so much. That means a lot.
I mean, Bogus, I texted you yesterday, but we're all thinking about you. You and John had a really unique and cool relationship.
This is the first 2 years of the network. I mean, we've joked about how many shows that I've been a part of and how much the more like the 6 a.m. to noon window has changed here. But that was the original 9 to 12 show from day one in 2013. I knew John a little bit before coming here, came here to work with him. And it was just we had way too much fun. We had way too many fights. But the show, we were proud of the show. John was proud of the show. People liked the show. And to hear from people who used to listen or have still listen that have kind of kept in social media touch since then, it was good to kind of go down memory lane yesterday, although we all would have rather not have had the need.
Yeah.
Pretty stunning news. I mean, 69 years old is young, and no, I don't think anyone knew if he was battling any kind of health issues, but what were some of the memories that you were going through yesterday?
It's actually funny. I was laughing with Pete Pilata this morning before he left after his show. I think John would be angry. Maybe he'd be laughing at the fact that all these outlets can't agree on how old he was, because it started out with him being 68. And now it's 69. I think we don't know what year he was born. I don't know if he fudged that date somewhere. But it's just, he was, Coach K said it in a statement yesterday that, like, you either loved or hated him. It just, that's who he was. And he lived in it. Like, he knew it. He knew that he was hard to deal with. He knew that he was opinionated. He knew that he made enemies. He sometimes liked making enemies. He also knew, but then the people that he liked and cared about, like, he went to bat for them for forever. So he could hold a grudge, but he also could hold a connection. Mm. So it means a lot to me that, like, I was in the outskirts of that circle.
I was curious, a lot of people knowing it's March. I think of him as college basketball number one. I know golf, too, is big for him. How much did he love college hoops?
I think that's his number one, but there's not much space between that and golf. But, I mean, he was basketball first.
Yeah.
I mean, he went to Duke. He was covering the
ACC. I didn't know. He went to Duke.
Yeah, covered the ACC. He knew Coach K before he was Coach K. Dean Smith confided in him like nobody else. Jim Valvano as well. One of his last books was kind of that writing about the 80s and 90s of the ACC taking off with those three guys at those three schools. And so I think college basketball, certainly for me, but it's hard to separate them because he loved them so much. And this is the time of year where he would have been planning to go usually via car from the Final Four to the Masters because they're on back-to-back weekends.
This is his season.
Yeah.
I know everyone talks about Season on the Brink. Did you ever read the book about, it was Vince Carter's North Carolina team where he followed the late 90s ACC? I think it was called A March to Madness.
Yeah.
Oh, incredible. And Season on the Brink's incredible, the Bob Knight book. But, for me, he's the number one college basketball writer. I can't even say anyone close.
Yeah. It's funny because it became kind of like this mini subgenre of sports writing books, which is the embedded reporter there for a season, which is very different than, oh, you just won the title, so now let's go back to the beginning and trace this thing all the way and see how you did it. With John and Season on the Brink and David Halberstam and Jack McCallum and these guys who just get embedded from the first moment, it creates a very different type of book. And and John turned that into an art form.
I think Rick Talender, too, with the Hoops book. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking Mount Rushmore of sports books. Yeah. These are the books that people get into the industry for.
I mean, Season on the Brink is 40. I'm trying to think of what
86.
So we're on 40 years of that. I mean, that's still top of mind.
Turned it into a movie.
Hasn't been like replaced by any. Like, it's in Bob Knight's biography, or eulogy. It's in the second paragraph of John's, unfortunately, now. And like that's how long that book has stood the test of time and how good it was. And even, there was like an empty seat at Indiana that John couldn't sit in because Bob Knight disliked him so much after the book.
Really? Oh, my God.
Just like that book is an all-timer. And It's not my favorite, though. I loved his book about Mike Mussina and Tom Glavine. He followed them here in New York when one was a Met, one was a Yankee. I'm talking about pitching. That's my favorite one.
Wow, I didn't read that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He wrote over 20
Living on the Black, I think it's the official title of that one. That's a good one.
Well, we're so sorry for you, Bogish, and you know, we're thinking about everyone who was a fan of John. We're fans of John. I interviewed him once. He was delightful. We talked a lot of golf, and I'll remember that, but obviously not nearly the connection that you guys had. And if you want, I would encourage, go to Bogish's social media, because the call of Mike Krzyzewski, you and John, and he's on purpose calling you the different name, and you have this sort of back and forth.
Because we're best friends.
Yeah. You and Coach K. It brought a smile to my face. So, again, so sorry.
Well, I appreciate that. And again, everybody that's reached out and said nice things about the show and John, it's we saw them all, and it's much appreciated.
Well, now I feel terrible making you buy breakfast today. I mean,
that's
I feel like
fault.
I'm kind of kicking you while you're down here because your Rams lost to my GW Revs yesterday in the A-10 tournament, a tournament that John Feinstein was covering, actually, until we got the sad news. You know, I want to give you a pass here, dude.
Well, I say that you should bet on the spread, but I think it was close to a push, wasn't it?
I think the line was 7.5, and Fordham lost by 7, so I think I won on that front. But I wanted this to be straight up, so I'll take the loss, although okay. If I never see Trey Autry shoot a 3 again, fine by me.
Yeah. Thanks for holding to your end of the bargain.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
here.
Hungry, so it is what it is.
Okay.
And speaking of three-pointers, Davidson basketball assistant GM Steph Curry still moonlighting as a shooter.
Curry one-on-one. He loses the ball, deflected away, picked up by Moody, back to Curry. Pump fake, fly-by, three-ball on the way. Number 4,000 for Stephen Curry. The undisputed author of the three-point rule book and the three-point record book.
Tim Roy, Warriors Radio. Steph, happy to make this history. Again, the first with 4,000 career threes. Happy to do it at home after breaking the three-point all-time record at MSG.
The 2974 record in New York was great because it was an unbelievable environment in Madison Square, but to do it in front of my home fans, and, it was a weird game. I didn't get many attempts up, but to finally get in the third, I felt the energy. It was special.
Just dawned on me. So he's like 1,200 threes past becoming number one all-time in that category. Just the difference would put him what on the all-time list? Like just 1,100 threes by themselves.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I heard something that I wasn't sure. Is this an unbreakable record?
Well, people shoot more threes now, so I wonder.
Yeah, I mean, there's some, like I mentioned it recently, like Buddy Hield has more threes than like Chris Mullin now.
Yeah.
Like, I think this one, I don't know how safe this one is because the Celtics took 63 threes 2 nights ago.
Yeah.
Sam Hauser,
they
nine
made, like,
of them.
Four of them.
Like, dude, guys are going to take threes. 4,000 obviously is still an astronomical amount, and Steph's 37. But we're just banking threes left and right now.
Actually, with Ovechkin chasing down Gretzky, I'm starting to think no record is really safe. We say these records are untouchable.
I thought Kareem's was, and LeBron blew past that. And by the way, Steph Curry said gave an interview in San Francisco the other day saying he's going to outplay his current contract, which goes through the 26-27 season. So we could get 1,000 more threes.
How about DiMaggio's record? 56 hits.
That's not getting touched.
No.
I think
we
did this as a great debate, didn't we? The most unbreakable records. Who was through the back-to-back no-hitters? It was, guys, help me. Anyway.
I mean, I said 50 points per game by Will Chamberlain is not getting touched.
Damn. No one's doing Cal Ripken either.
No one's doing 100 points in a game either. In fact,
see,
we don't even know if Wilt did it.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, I'm not a truther on that.
We don't know if that happened in Hershey, Pennsylvania against the Knicks. There's no tape on
it. Cheryl Miller did it.
Oh, Jack Shock had 130 in a game, right? The Grinnell College.
Yeah. Johnny Vandermeer. Ah, Max. Yeah.
So Steph Curry, by the way, I studied the Warriors closely last night because I'm hearing a lot of championship buzz with Jimmy Butler.
What you got?
I think to scout the Golden State Warriors, you should watch a Harlem Globetrotters versus the Washington Generals game because they are so loose. They're just throwing around. Jimmy Butler looks like he's the happiest man in the world. What is going on with that guy? Is it that simple that he's a malcontent and he goes to a new team and everyone's thrilled?
This is the formula. He's done it 3 times.
I don't like when things are that predictable.
Damn right.
I mean, or, you know, maybe he should, like, get a grip.
Oh, he's like... Yeah, it is like the funnest time I've ever seen a Golden State. They're all smiling. They're all laughing. Steph barely seems, it looks like he's playing a pickup game. He's so relaxed.
What's the Harlem Globetrotters theme song? Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
They're throwing behind-the-back passes. They're like,
Metal confetti. Bucket full of confetti.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, but so wait, we got it. How's the research team? Who's closest to Steph Curry's 4,000?
James Harden.
He's not going anywhere either. Right. He might play for another 5 years.
He's 900 three-pointers away, so Steph's going to be fine. And that question Bogish had, that if the difference alone would put Steph Curry inside the top, like, 200-ish.
Okay.
So
Harden already has more than the record that Curry broke?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Harden passed Ray Allen. Like, maybe, I don't know, I think that was last year.
I'm a little worried about Ray Allen in terms of his, like, legacy. I think he might... He's going to keep moving down on these lists. I don't know if we're going to remember Ray Allen the way we should. Maybe he's got that shot in the finals, though. So that will always be an all-timer.
I feel like old-school three-point shooters, they're all feeling it. Like,
yeah,
I think Reggie's going to feel it. I feel like Larry Bird has felt it. Like, it's just a different game.
Yeah.
It's a totally different game.
I'm actually surprised LeBron's not higher on this three-point list.
Well, he only really started shooting a lot of threes, like, 10 years ago?
Yeah, second half of his career. But still, I mean, he's got so many points. He's seventh, by the way, but I say he's not higher. He's still
top 10.
My guy Vince Carter is still top 10, holding on to that. Isn't that crazy that Vince Carter is a top 10 all-time three-point shooters?
Did you guys see the crazy Vince Carter story yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
From my best friend, James Dolan,
told
on the roommate show about how they were going to trade for Vince Carter, the Knicks were, and the medical, the doctor said his Achilles was 90% torn, at least this is Dolan's recollection. Said, you can't do it. He's going to get hurt any minute. He went on to play 10 more years.
It might be more than that. It might have been 15. He played until he was 43 years old.
I was in the New York Knicks.
I was with my barber, and we were just talking about basketball. He was like, how old did Vince Carter play? And then we're looking up his stats, and I was like, I didn't think it was that long. I didn't realize he played until he was 43.
Yeah.
He just retired.
Yeah, no, I knew it was long, but I didn't think the age, rather. That was the thing. Was like, a 43-year-old basketball player is crazy. Like,
it was kind of
crazy that happened.
He was a totally different guy, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. You know, he could still dunk. I saw him dunk in a suit when he was doing TV recently. But favorite player of all time.
Well, Dr. J was like dunking at like the age of 60, I think, in that documentary, which was really cool. I'm looking at this list. I think the youngest guy in this list that's in the top 100 is Luka Doncic, who has 1,300.
Ooh, he fires up a lot.
He shoots a lot. Jason Tatum's also in this, too. He's also in this top 100.
That's interesting.
You know, quickly, I just want to hit Andrea here, who is in Berkeley, and she's our sports like astrologist. And Andrea, we only have about a minute, but there's something about Steph Curry hitting his 4,003 that was written in the stars?
Yes, it was on the cusp of his birthday. He's actually born March 14th, 1988. So he hit 4,000 threes on the cusp of his birthday and the full moon lunar eclipse. So happy full moon lunar eclipse. Memorable birthday for Steph. Should be quite a year. And for your listeners, Mercury will be retrograding March 14th to April 7th.
Uh-oh.
So baseball season starts with Mercury retrograde. Might be some delays here and there. But on a happier note, happy Pisces birthday, Steph Curry.
There we go. Well, Andrew, we know when Mercury's in retrograde, there's some things you want to avoid, right? Contract negotiations, big life decisions.
Yes, contract signings, allow extra time for transportation, some technology snafus. Yeah, definitely think twice before you sign on the dotted line, that kind of thing.
That's why you can't get the USA Network, Maggie.
I know, they keep me from watching my beloved GW Revs. Andrea, thank you so much. Thanks for being patient.
Thank you. Happy full moon, lunar eclipse.
Same to you. Appreciate that. I love when Andrea chimes in. It always gives a different perspective. That Mercury and retrograde stuff, though, I believe that. You get these technological snafus, and they are just a killer. Printers jammed up, flight delays, everything just annoying.
I got a broken computer keyboard at home. Is this the problem, not my Bluetooth connection?
Just wait like a couple weeks, and that thing will be right back online.
Yep. Totally buy it.
Weeks?
Well, she said till April 7th.
I need the A key to work. It's hard to type with missing letters and numbers.
Drew Bogish.
Mm-hmm.
This is when you go by Drew until...
No, I think that whole like top left corner of my keyboard is the problem. So like ASD, WER, 123, those are all malfunctions.
Nobody needs E's.
But no.
You, What year is this computer from? Or this keyboard?
What does it
That's
look like?
How
1982.
No. I mean, it's a relatively new.
Oh.
It shouldn't be dead.
Got it.
Yeah.
We haven't had a lot of advancements in keyboard technology.
You're incorrect.
Really? It's it's the QWERTY.
You wait till Lucas wants to play video games on a PC, and then you got to do all this research on where the keys are, what noises they make, how big they are.
Console, y'all.
Also, have you ever done video editing? There are people who just have a video editing keyboard.
I've seen those, but I'm talking about regular people, laptops and such.
No, there's a lot of customization.
There are no regular people anymore. Yeah, that stuff they're talking about, Maggie, that's what... Maybe you and me have not advanced in the keyboard use, but everybody else has.
Still hunting and pecking.
I'm still playing regular Nintendo, too. 855-212-4227. Still holds up. All right, we've got major updates for you on the NFL free agency stuff, especially Aaron Rodgers. Sit tight.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get to Aaron Rodgers. We got some updates for you in just a moment. But first, this was an interesting one, Pearl. A little peek behind the curtain of one of the most interesting teams in sports right now, which is obviously the Los Angeles Lakers. After the trade for Luka Doncic, now LeBron is hurt, so they've been on a little bit of a skid. But Shams Charania, who broke the story about Luka.
Hey, LeBron, we're pulling for your groin.
Was recently on the Young Man in the Three pod. Used to be the Old Man in the Three when JJ Redick hosted it. Now it's the Young Man in the Three. And Shams is talking about how he was getting ready for a flight when he heard about possible trade going down.
What's funny is a few days prior, Wednesday, I had heard that the Lakers and Mavs were talking about a trade. I was just about preparing and getting myself ready for this flight in the morning. And it was about 11:05 when I got, you know, this is what I call in MySpace a tip. You know, you get tipped off on something. About 11:05, I got tipped off that there's something going on with the Lakers and Mavericks.
Okay, so more from Sean said he worked the sources and learned that AD and Luka were actually the last pieces. This is the last piece of the puzzle that he figured out.
thing. And I'm digging more and more. By person 2-3, Hood Shafino's going to Utah. It's a three-team trade. Markieff Morris going to the Lakers too, and Maxi Kleber. And I'm like, I'm picking all these pieces apart, and I'm like, what's the trade? Like, what is going on here? And by the time I got to the fourth and fifth person, I got all the details of the trade, made one more call. I'm like, I didn't even say on that call. I basically like, is this real? And the person's like, yeah, it's real.
Oh, man.
Okay, more from Shams when he found out it was real and he's on the doorstep of breaking what could go down as one of the biggest trades in the history of the league. He said his hands were shaking.
Obviously, my hands were shaking. You know, you had to make sure like every detail was right. You had to make sure there was no typo. And I just remember like my hands were trembling. I didn't have a graphic to go with it because it was so sudden. Like you don't even have time to prep for it. It's not like you make a Luka Doncic graphic beforehand. You don't even know. And so by the time I heard about it to the time I put it out, probably 5 to 7 minutes went by. Five confirmed sources on it. And then after that, my phone was a mess.
Yeah. Then all the text messages and stuff started flooding in. So there's a little peek behind the curtain of how this went down. He's looking at Hood Shafino and Markieff Morris wondering, what the heck is going on here? Meanwhile, the whole time it was Luka Doncic was the big piece.
Yeah, I mean, talk about starting small. And then, do you even bother tweeting if Hood Shafino gets traded?
Probably not.
That's a Chris Haynes tweet.
Leave that to one of the other newsbreakers. Sheesh, Manny. I don't want to... Chris, we don't want the smoke. I like him. So this is kind of interesting, right? Because it was able to be such a secret. I don't know if you guys have seen, but now the owner of the Mavs, like the governor, Patrick Dumont, the son-in-law of the Adelsons.
The guy who runs the team.
Basically, the guy who runs the team has been doing some press over the last couple days. And just everything this dude says, just you cannot believe it. And he is talking about how they didn't improve the team. You know, they didn't feel like there was enough improvement. And it's just nothing that this dude says is ever going to pass the smell test. You know, like it just always feels like there's two things at play here. Either they just didn't want to pay him. They just didn't want to pay him.
I mean, that's clearly true. Right.
They didn't want to pay him. Still doesn't explain why you didn't shop them.
Yeah, that's right? A great point.
And then the other part of this, which is the question that they've had to answer over and over and over again, is how committed are you to Dallas? And, you know, what is this really about? Is it about getting a casino built or is it about trying to win a championship? And, you know, I think that you can kind of tell that the casino might be plan A and building a champion is more like plan B, plan C.
But I don't understand. The Mets owner, Steve Cohen, wants to build a casino and his best strategy is to buy a World Series team. So he's spending like crazy on the team. Would keeping Luka Doncic help you get the casino? That's, again, I still have not wrapped my head around that.
Well, it depends how into local politics you want to get here, which is, you know, right now gambling isn't legal in Texas. And so they need to put the squeeze on lawmakers. And if the team is bad or threatened to leave or whatever, then you'll always be the politicians that let the Dallas Mavericks leave town. And so in some ways, it's like a negotiation.
So you have to get really bad. I mean, it still feels a bit complicated.
Because can't figure out why this happened.
Maybe just don't trade Luka.
Silver should never let this guy in the league. That's a problem.
I mean, hookah and beer, considering what we know some athletes have dealt with in their personal life, they really trade him out of town because he likes to smoke a hookah. Get out of here. A couple beers? Doesn't make sense. Okay, Aaron Rodgers update next.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.